The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Democrats and their sick affinity for China. AOC does the border again. And Hollywood producer Roma Downey on her new movie, Resurrection. This is the Dinesh D'Souza podcast.
America needs this voice. The times are crazy. In a time of confusion, division, and lies, we need a brave voice of reason, understanding, and truth. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Podcast.
How to explain the sick admiration of the Biden administration, and indeed, the Democrats and the left, for China? The Chinese regime is the most totalitarian in the world. It stretches over a billion people. It uses technology to control its entire population. It's got means and tools like facial recognition software and so on, things that poor Stalin or the old Soviet despots couldn't even dream about. So this is a horrific regime that imposes a conformity, a forced conformity on its population, violates human rights, goes after minorities. And yet, interestingly enough, the Biden administration appears to be trying constantly to praise, cozy up to, minimize the horrors of China. Here's a little clip of Biden talking about China. It's actually quite revealing. Listen.
And the thing that I admire about dealing with Xi is he understands. He makes no pretense about not understanding what I'm saying anymore than I do him. I pointed out to him, no leader can be sustained in his position or her position unless they represent the values of the country. And I said, Mr. President, as I've told you before, Americans value the notion of freedom. America values human rights. We don't always live up to our expectations, but it's a value system. We are founded on that principle. And as long as you and your country continues to so blatantly violate human rights, we are going to continue in an unrelenting way to call to the attention of the world and make it clear what's happening. And he understood that.
It's very hard for me to even listen to this tripe. It's basically weakness masquerading as strength. And to see this, you've got to understand the sort of relativist premises of Biden's statement. His statement is not, there are universal human rights. There is a way to treat human beings. And you, the Chinese, are violating them. No, that's not his argument. Here's his argument. His argument is essentially couched as, we Americans don't really like that kind of thing. That's because we've got a long culture stretching back a long time that basically says that beating up on other people, oppressing minorities, forced conformity, are not exactly our cup of tea. Now, they may be your cup of tea, but don't be too offended if we have to sort of speak up from our point of view, recognizing, of course, that you have your point of view. I mean, this is worse than Neville Chamberlain. Imagine Neville Chamberlain in his infamous this meeting with Hitler, you know, Hitler, you know, we in England, we prefer our own traditions and our own practices. We like tea. You may not like tea. And of course, we don't like invading Poland and Czechoslovakia. And we don't like your ideas of taking over the world. We realize that those may be German ideas, but we want you to know that they're not English. Now, think of the pathetic, weak, and this is Bidenism. This is Bidenism when facing the world's most dangerous adversary. And the Chinese are actually ruthless about building up their military. They know what they're trying to do. Now, why is Biden doing this? And Biden, by the way, is not alone. Every time I see the New York Times columnist Tom Friedman talking about China, He's like gushing with admiration. Oh, the Chinese have this new amazing train. Oh, wait till you see what the Chinese are building here and doing there. And it's not just that he has this kind of grudging respect for the Chinese. Hey, these are our adversaries. They're very tough. We better. But no, his is more like, ga, ga, ga. Wow. We should be more like China. Now, this we should be more like China thing is not something the Democrats are actually doing. The Chinese actually do a couple of things with single-minded resoluteness and effectiveness, and we could learn from them. For example, they have a rigorous education system. Well, we're not doing that in our country. That's why Chinese kids in the 10th grade are basically the equivalent of American kids who have had 4 years of college. The Chinese are like 4 years cognitively ahead of Americans in math. And we're trying to debate, you know, is mathematics unfair to Latinos? Is our equations racist? You know, this is what our professors are doing. And similarly with the military, the Chinese are building up their, they have a strategic plan. They want to control the trade routes. They know what they want to encircle Taiwan. They have their goals. Meanwhile, what are we doing? Well, here's what we're doing. This is from the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd. Trans rights are human rights, and on this Trans Day of Visibility, I'm pleased to announce we've updated DOD policy on the open service of transgender individuals. So can you imagine? Think of what the Chinese think about this. We are taking recruits and making the boys wear red high heels and walk for a mile. And this is what we're obsessed about, which, you know, gay platoons, men serving as women, women serving as men. We're concerned about diversity and they're concerned about military objectives and effectiveness. What a disturbing contrast. Now, when it comes to Biden himself, there might be some people who think, well, the reason he likes China is because he's been paid off by China. He's bought and paid for by China. And that is certainly part of the truth. The Chinese have done a lot to enrich the Biden family. And we know from other documents that that money has found its way to old Joe. So when old Joe puts on his doddering routine, there's a lot of suitcases of cash behind that. So that's part of the picture. But I don't think it's the whole part of the picture, because while that might explain Biden, it wouldn't explain, say, Obama's admiration for China. Obama once said very tellingly, he goes, you know, I kind of admire the Chinese. I kind of admire the Chinese government. You know why? Because they don't have checks and balances. Basically, they just tell people what to do and make them do them. So Obama had what I want to call totalitarian envy. He didn't like the fact that he's in a democratic system with a lot of block and tackle and the filibuster. He likes the idea of basically being a despot. And I want to argue that there's something about the Democrats that appreciates this kind of despotism. Why? Because they'd like to see more of it here. They'd love to have a regime where they can just dictate orders and make Americans follow them. So this totalitarian envy is part of the reason why Democrats are a little soft on China. By the way, they were kind of soft on the Soviet Union in the 1980s. We forget that. We think, oh, there was a bipartisan alliance against nonsense. Many years ago at the Heritage Foundation, I did a debate. It was against Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews, now of MSNBC. We were debating, is Democratic policy pro-Soviet? And my argument was kind of simple. It's not a matter of opinion. I said, let's just look at the Democratic Party's policy on a range of issues. Let's take the MX missile. The Soviets are against it. The Democrats, they're also against it. Let's take the B-1 bomber. The Soviets are against it. The Democrats are also against it. Let's go on strategic missile defenses. Reagan wants to build it. The Soviets say no. The Democrats say no. Reagan wants to fund a resistance against the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. The Soviets say no. The Democrats say no. So if you literally made a kind of clinical comparison, a mathematical, two Cartesian circles, you will see that the Democratic position and the Soviet position overlap about 80% of the time. And that was the basis for my argument that objectively, the Democrats are taking a pro-Soviet stance. And similarly, you could do the same thing with China now and show that by and large, in case after case, the Democrats are objectively pro-China. And the sickening thing is they're willing to sell out America to do it. They're willing to sell out American interests. They're willing to sell out American workers. So all of this is couched in the language of globalization and technology and entering the 21st century. But at the base, we're kowtowing to totalitarianism. And part of the reason is that there's a little bit in the leftist, in the Democrat, in the Biden people that secretly admires what those people are doing. Nobody likes to be sued, but the thing about Mike Lindell is he's like, bring it on. I want the truth about the election to come out. And so I'm going to pay the cost. I'm going to fight it through. Here's a guy who's also creating his own alternative social media platform. It's apparently coming online pretty soon. I'm going to have him on the podcast to talk about it when it does. We need to support fighters like Mike, people who stand up for their convictions. I want to talk now about his Giza dream sheets. Sleep is one of my favorite activities. When I sleep well when I have the right pillow, the right sheets, and the right pajamas. I actually love wearing Mike Lindell's pajamas. Obviously, they're not his pajamas. They're the MyPillow pajamas. But they go really well with Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. Mike is giving you an amazing offer. Buy one, get one free on these incredible sheet sets. He's come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets, the best cotton in the world. It comes from a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. The new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton. Mike guarantees, and I guarantee, they'll be the most comfortable sheets you own. The first night you sleep on them, you'll never want to sleep on anything else. The Giza Dream sheets come in a variety of colors, like all of Mike's products. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. So right now, you can buy one, get one free on the sheets. Deep discounts on all the other products, including the robes. Call 800-876-0227. Use promo code Dinesh. Again, buy one, get one free on the sheets. Call 800-876-0227 or go to MyPillow.com. But make sure to use promo code Dinesh. AOC has decided to do the border a second time. Now, the first time was under Trump, and you remember she made her way down to the border and stood at the, at the fence and was peering through the fence and was, oh, she was weeping and people were taking photographs of her and so on. And it was all fake because there was actually nothing going on the other side. This was staged drama by AOC, very classic AOC. And now there is a crisis at the border, and AOC has decided not to go to the border this time. No theatrics to be done there. In fact, I don't think she wants to embarrass Biden. In fact, she's hitting out at the conservatives. Here's a recent clip. Listen.
They want to say, what about the surge? Well, first of all, just gut check, stop. Anyone who's using the term surge around you consciously is trying to invoke a militaristic frame. And that's a problem because this is not a surge. These are children. And they are not insurgents. And we are not being invaded, which, by the way, is a white supremacist idea, philosophy. The idea that if an other is coming in the population, that this is like an invasion of who we are.
This is a woman that bears a very unsteady relationship to the English language. And ironically, she's lecturing us about language, about terms. And so I thought, let's do her gut check, stop, and subject these terms to a little bit of scrutiny. First of all, let's talk about the word surge. She says anyone who uses the term, she means consciously, but she says cautiously. Anyway, surge is the term we're talking about. And she says, it's a militaristic term. Well, is it? Let's take a look. Here's Shakespeare, Henry V, Act 3. To sounds confused, behold the treaden sails, borne with the invisible and creeping wind, draw the huge bottoms through the furrowed sea, breasting the lofty surge. The surge here is talking about the ocean. Henry IV, Part 2, in cradle of the rude, imperious surge. Surge is just a term that refers to an increase, a kind of expansion. Now, surge can be used in a military context. I mean, we talked in 2007, I believe, about Bush's surge in Iraq, which was an increase of U.S. troops in Iraq. In that case, there was a military context, but here is a recent tweet talking about a surge in COVID, a surge in cases. So again, surge benignly here just refers to more cases. There's no necessary military implication whatsoever. Let's now turn to the word insurgent. I did a Google search. no one, literally no one, has called the migrants, has called the illegals trying to come across the border or the children insurgents. There's not a single case that I can find of that usage. Now, of course, people have talked about the January 6th protesters as insurgents, but that's a bad use. That's a wrong use of that term also. Why? Dictionary definition. An insurgent is an armed rebel or revolutionary, as in armed insurgent groups. So insurgent is a military term, but no one's using it about the border. The left is trying to use the term falsely about January 6th. By the way, the last insurgency we had in America was in 1861. Now, on to these are children. Now, this is a statement either uttered in frightening naivete or cunning diabolical deception, because children don't create caravans. Children don't decide to kind of leave their homes or even their huts and say, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to make my way over from El Salvador to the Mexican border, kind of mosey over the United States, make a life over there. No kids do that. Children don't migrate on their own. These children are pawns. They are human passports. They are part of a complex drug trafficking, cartel-driven criminal operation. The kids are the victims here because they're used. They're kidnapped often from their parents, and they're used to trick people's way across the border. People who don't care about the kids but want themselves to be released into the United States where they'll never be heard from again. So this is AOC, who is kind of a combination of obtuseness and malice. You really have elements of both, as you often do on the left. Apart, there's a kind of bovine stupidity which comes across in her manner, but don't be fooled by the pure stupidity of it, because what she's trying to do, if AOC had her way, this crisis would be multiplied. There would be more children. There would be more gangs. There would be more cartels. So in other words, she is actually complicit in this horrific operation, even as she makes false warnings against the military surge. Don't call them insurgents. All of this is the kind of fakery designed to camouflage the horrific events that are going on the border that have been not just the accidental result, but the foreseeable consequences of the policies of Biden and the left. Did you know that a third of Americans regularly suffer from nausea? My wife Debbie had a terrible time flying.
I would immediately feel like throwing up when taking off and landing. That is, until I discovered a device that took away my nausea, and I've used it for decades.
That's why I'm excited about our new partner of that device, Relief Band. Relief Band is the number one FDA-cleared anti-nausea wristband that has been clinically proven to quickly relieve and effectively prevent nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraine, hangover, morning sickness, chemotherapy, and so much more. The product is 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, and provides all-natural relief with zero side effects for as long as needed. The technology was originally developed over 20 years ago in hospitals to relieve nausea from patients, but now through Relief Band, it's available to you. Relief Band stimulates a nerve in the wrist that travels to the part of the brain that controls nausea. Then it blocks the signal your brain is sending to your stomach telling you that you are sick. Relief Band is the only over-the-counter wearable device that has been used in hospitals and oncology clinics to treat nausea and vomiting.
It's worked for me, and it can work for you.
Right now, Relief Band has an exclusive offer for my listeners. Go to reliefband.com and use promo code Dinesh. You'll get 20% off, plus free shipping and a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee. So head to reliefband.com and use our promo code Dinesh. I want to talk about fake news in the context of media coverage of Georgia's new voter integrity laws. When we think of fake news, we often think of the press as being biased, as coming at things from a certain angle, as having an ideological agenda. But in our time, it's gone way beyond that. The press is essentially in bed with the left and the Democratic Party. It is a PR operation of the Democratic Party and engages in outright lying and camouflage. in order to protect the interests of that party. So it's not a real press in any meaningful sense of the term. And here's a classic example of it. An article in NBC News. New Jersey's Democratic governor signs early voting expansion, calls out Georgia. They're talking now about New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy. They say he signed a bill that institutes early voting. And then they quote Murphy. This is a lavishly praiseworthy, lavishly complimentary article. And he talks about our democracy is being stronger. People's voices are being heard. He goes, and then he says, I can't overlook that this early voting bill passed by our legislature the same day that the governor of Georgia was signing a law restricting the rights of Georgians to vote. Yes. And the article goes on. And then it talks about the fact at the very end, New Jersey's bill will create as many as 9 days of early voting before the elections. As many as 9 days. And then the article ends. Now, here's the interesting point. The Georgia law, signed by Governor Kemp, allows 17 days of early voting. So the New Jersey governor's really excited. I'm signing this amazing law. It allows 9 days of early voting. Well, Georgia allows 17 days. More mandatory days of early voting. That fact, which is known to NBC, is excluded from the article because they don't want people to be able to go, wait a minute, this is crazy. This guy is complimenting himself and criticizing Georgia when the simple fact of the matter is Georgia's law allows more access to voting. And it completely destroys Phil Murphy's point that somehow he's doing something to expand voting rights in Georgia to contract or suppress voter suppression. Not at all. The facts cut the other way. And so what you have is NBC News decides, well, listen, let's just leave that out. We won't say, we'll even put the 9 days thing at the very end. So if somebody does want to compare, they probably won't even get to that part of the article. It's a very interesting, by the way, Biden has been doing his own flagrant lying. What I'm worried about is how un-American this whole initiative is. It's sick, sick. Deciding you're going to end voting at 5 o'clock when working people are just getting off work. That's Biden talking about the Georgia law. Well, the Georgia law says that polling places are going to be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Same as before. No change in the voting times. No change from what other places allow. So there's absolutely nothing in this that says we're going to shut off the voting. And this was just a brazen outright lie by Biden. By the way, four Pinocchios in a fact check by the Washington Post. So what's going on here is just outright deception. Deception from the government, deception from the media. Hemingway, in the current issue of The Federalist, says it's important for us to be honest about what's happened to our press. If you looked at the Biden press conference, he says, these weren't reporters asking tough or critical questions at all. These are basically lapdogs who are just sort of licking Biden's feet or licking Biden's rear end, probably a more vivid image for you to leave in your mind. And then Molly, at the end of this, basically says, listen, we got to realize who these people are. And more importantly, she goes, stop paying attention to them. This is the key message, the take-home value of this article for the GOP, because the GOP is so used to jumping whenever they see an article in the Washington Post or the New York Times. The GOP's premise is, this may be true. We have to react. We need damage control. Call in our crisis managers. No, it's probably not true. It's almost certainly not true. You can bet it is spun. It is slanted. It is designed to achieve an ideological objective. So don't be a sucker. Your starting premise should be you people are lying. Your next premise should be show us the actual supporting facts. Name all the unnamed officials quoted in this article. Show us the proof that what you're saying is true, and then we'll start thinking about it. And finally, Molly Hemingway says, let's also realize the importance of creating alternative outlets and patronizing them. Don't subscribe. Don't waste your time watching CNN. I just like to see what they have to say. Why? You know what they have to say. Patronize outlets on the other side that are actually offering you reporting, real critical, and they're doing the job of applying a critical lens on the Biden administration that the media, and we don't even have to call them the mainstream media, mainstream to what? They represent half the country. We represent the other half of the country. What makes them more, quote, mainstream than we are? True, they have bigger organs of culture, so you can say that they are cultural monopolies or they're dominant in certain sectors. But it gives these people too much credit. When you actually look at the ridiculous individuals you're talking about, We should be ridiculing them from morning to night and ridiculing them from every different direction. I mean, think of a guy like this guy, Brian Stelter. This is the guy with the Mike Tyson accent. Hello, hello. This guy, I was kind of amazed to discover Brian Stelter. This is Brian Stelter of CNN. Is 35 years old. 35 years old. I look at a picture of the guy and I go, oh my God, I'm going to turn this month 60. This guy looks old enough to be my dad. I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, I get, you know, it could be the cruelty of nature. That's one possibility. It could be just the fruits of living a morally reprobate lifestyle. Brian, I hope I'm not telling out of school on you here. And then I know there's going to be some conservatives, the usual type of, Dinesh, you know, this is a little ad hominem, isn't it? Yes, it is. Well, Dinesh, it's a little, I mean, we're doing what they do. Exactly. It's time we start doing a little bit more of what they ridicule us. Why can't we ridicule them? They would not hesitate to draw their sword on any issue whatsoever. So the bottom line of it is, let's start moving away from these clowns. Let's start developing our own outlets, listening to our own guys, laughing at our own jokes. And if we pay them any attention at all, it's to ridicule them, which they richly deserve. Do you think our nation's economy is going to be insulated from Biden's planned massive tax increases? Think again. There's only one way to protect your savings. Do what over 10,000 other smart investors have and convert a portion of your retirement accounts into gold and silver with Birch Gold. When inflation hits, and it will, gold and silver are your safe haven. Birch Gold Group is the company I trust to help you convert an IRA or eligible 401k into an IRA backed by gold and silver. Through April 30th, on qualifying purchases when you buy physical gold or silver or open a precious metals IRA with Birch Gold, it will send you a free home safe. Text Dinesh to 484848 for your free information kit on precious metals IRAs or to speak with a Birch Gold representative today. With 10,000 customers, an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, they can help you too. Text Dinesh to 484848 for your free safe with qualifying purchase. I'm here with Debbie, who we want to talk about actually a pretty serious topic today, namely the crisis at the border. Now, let me start by I'm thinking about AOC and her remark that the border crisis is the product of white supremacy. And in a sense, what she's saying is that people like you and me, not exactly embodiments of the white Anglo-Saxon male, you're 100% Latina, I'm 100% Asian Indian, I'm actually darker skin than AOC, that we are somehow pawns of white supremacy. I mean, what a ridiculous concept.
Right. So, these are the talking points that the Democrats use, right, to attack any conservative that says anything about illegals coming over to America.
So basically, rule of law equals white supremacy. And anyone who stands up for that, even if not white, becomes a pawn of whiteness.
I mean, correct.
All right. Well, I want to talk about your article. You have an article on an important, relatively new website. It's called El American. So say what El American is, and then we'll talk about the article.
So El American is a publication, mainly publication for Hispanic Americans that want to actually see the truth. That is not given by, you know, the usual liberal leftist talking points like Telemundo and Univision and all of those publications, the CNN types, right, for Latinos, because they take a very left-wing stance on pretty much everything. And so this publication is a conservative publication for Latinos like myself.
And you write a periodic regular column.
I do.
In your latest one, it's called Crossing Over. And it's, let's see, it's lamerican.com. That's the website.
Lamerican.com. Yes.
You discuss, I think the core question you're focusing on is who really benefits from the crisis at the border? Now, many conservatives may think, oh, well, obviously we know who benefits. It's the illegals because they're getting to come over to America without being obstructed. Now, we've seen a lot of examples of how tragic conditions are at the border. I have here a tweet from Senator Ron Johnson. During Friday's tour of the Rio Grande with 18 of my Republican Senate colleagues, we saw a dead body floating in the river. So
This all raises the question, are the migrants the real beneficiaries of this, or is somebody else benefiting more? What would you say? What does the article say?
Right. So the migrants are actually the pawns. And they're used by both the cartels, the Mexican cartels, Mexican and the Northern Triangle cartels, and the Democratic Party. Imagine that. An alliance, really, between those two. Now, I point out, and for those of you that don't subscribe to either the Republican point of view on illegal immigration or the Democrat point of view, there is a foundation, research foundation, called Texas Public Policy Foundation Research, and they have a lot about illegal immigration, and they've done extensive research on this. And I got the March 2021 publication about illegal immigration and the cause, the root cause of it. And to my great surprise, it is actually a beneficial kind of a transaction that happens between the transnational criminal gangs and the transnational gangs, and they are called TCOs and TGs. And the summary goes on to say that the TCOs are the complex organizations that exist for the purpose of perpetrating crimes on a worldwide scale for monetary benefit. But the TGs are in control of the geographic areas of Central America and Mexico and USA, and they engage in extortion, kidnapping, and drug trafficking within those areas. And they charge what is called a piso, not to be confused with peso, but a piso, which is a sort of a tax that they charge these people with in order to get them across the border. So it is a monetary benefit for them, but it's done horrifically.
I mean, I found fascinating is we have this idea. People know about criminal gangs and coyotes and so on, but you think of this as just a border crossing thing. These are guys who sort of, you come to the border and there they are and they help you kind of get across and you may have to pay a fee like a tariff. But I think what your article shows and this study shows is that this is a widespread operation penetrating deep into South America, and the criminal gangs are part of what foment these. They go to families and they go, hey, listen, you need to come over. Let's join this caravan. These are the incentives. This is how we'll get you over. This is what you have to pay.
Right.
So it is a start-to-finish operation begins by selling you on the concept of crossing over in the first place.
They do, but they also scare these people because what ends up happening many times is that young men cannot find a job. So their only way to make any kind of money is to join these gangs, to join these cartels. And they pay them a lot of money to do this. And they sell out their families because of this. But the really horrific thing of this is that in many instances, if let's say that the person is like, listen, I don't want to do anything anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. What they do is they'll do things like cut off their head and put it in a suitcase and send it to the family, sort of as a warning. This is what happens if you leave this gang. And so these people are frightened, and naturally so, I would be too. And so, in other words, they cause the problem, and then they take advantage of the problem.
Now, let's turn to the Democratic Party, because I think if you were to confront Jen Psaki or Biden, they would act as if this is just the regrettable accidental consequence of a humanitarian. In fact, who was the woman, the reporter at, I believe from CNN, who said to Biden, this is happening because you're such a moral, honorable man. People are entrusting you with their children. You know, this is sort of the idea that it's our noble purposes that are generating these unfortunate results. You know, so it's an opportunity for more emotivism, more self-congratulation. But what I'm getting at is, wasn't this the foreseeable consequence of Biden's policies? Isn't Biden, in a sense, operating in tandem with these gangs, almost like the two hands of a scissors work together
exactly.
to achieve a predictable
exactly.
result?
Exactly. And I say in the article that the Democrats are, in a way, the reason that this is like a marriage between the Democratic Party and the cartels is because the pandering is what leads these cartels to know, okay, now we can go across. Now I can get you across because You have a president and a political party that wants you and wants to use you
for its purposes.
For its purposes, exactly.
So what's very interesting here is it's a wink, wink from Biden to them and from them to Biden.
It's like making a deal with the devil, and you know what happens when you do that.
Right, but is the devil the cartels or is it the Democrats? I guess it's a kind of a hard call, I think, in terms of who is the more cynical here? I mean, obviously the cartels are more wicked in that they'll chop your hands off and so on. But, I mean, isn't the other side also complicit in producing those horrific results that, by the way, weren't happening under Trump?
Right. Well, because they knew that Trump had closed the border for the most part. But we've got to get to the bottom of that. We have got to take a stance on these governments that are allowing these things to happen in those countries. And if we don't do that, we're never going to stop it.
Absolutely. If you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950. The reviews are amazing. This product actually works. With water, it breaks down the bonds of stains and odors so they are gone for good. Its antibacterial component removes pet odors from carpet and padding. It can be used in a carpet cleaning machine, and it's green, so it's safe for your family and pets. Genesis 950 is made in America. 1 gallon of industrial-strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner. But Genesis 950 is also great for bathrooms, floors, upholstery, and grease stains. Debbie uses it to clean the kitchen and recently got ink all over her pants, and Genesis 950 took it right off. Genesis 950 has great customer service. Order 1 gallon direct at genesis950.com to receive a free spray bottle, free shipping, and a $10 coupon code using the code Dinesh. That's genesis950.com. Coupon only available for 1 gallon purchase. Genesis 950. It's much cheaper than replacing your carpets. The Derek Chauvin trial moves forward in the killing of George Floyd. And I want to make just two observations at this stage. I'm following it, not intensely, but nevertheless from some distance and with some curiosity. Two things to me stand out so far. One is that when the George Floyd case erupted to public attention, the media coverage of it was, it's all about race. Well, it's a black man, and he's been, and this is a symptomatic of what's been going on for centuries, and this is how the cops are and the way they deal with black men and so on. Now, interestingly, from that moment to now, there is not one iota of evidence that anything that happened to George Floyd had anything to do with race. And the trial so far seems to corroborate that. This is, yes, you can debate whether there should have been a knee and it should have been there for 8 minutes and whether the what the police techniques are and who was complicit in this. But the one thing that there's no evidence for at all is the idea that this cop is a racist, he's harbored negative feelings toward minorities, this is a classic pattern of behavior with him, he used the N-word to talk about Jordan. None of that. None of it. So the race issue has essentially vanished. And one of the things I note in our culture is things are put out there, there's big hoopla about it, you know, Trump's phone call, impeachment, and then suddenly it's gone. We've even forgotten what the phone call was or to whom or about what. So this is how the left is. They use these things to create a strike. And then after a while, it becomes obvious that there is no there. But they pretend like, oh, you know what, big deal. They just move on. Now, there's a tweet here by Chelsea Handler. She goes, so pathetic that there's a trial to prove that Derek Chauvin killed George Floyd when there is a video of him doing so. And then as if to remove any doubt about what she's saying, because you're like, what are you saying? No trial? You don't want the guy to even have due process of law? You don't believe he has constitutional rights? She actually says, no, she doesn't think he does. Perhaps we should skip trials when there is an audio and video footage of the murder. Now, this is actually very insidious, because in the first tweet she talks about Derek Chauvin killed George Floyd. Now, we know that George Floyd died. We also know that there was a knee on his neck. What actually killed him? Well, I mean, I have the toxicology report right here. It says he had lethal doses of fentanyl in his system. So maybe Derek Chauvin killed him. Maybe the fentanyl killed him. That has not been proven. That's why we have a trial. You notice that in the second tweet, what Chelsea Handler does is she goes, perhaps we skip trials when there's audio and video footage of the murder. Now, a murder implies an intentional killing. There are different degrees of murder. You premeditated, first-degree murder. You didn't premeditate it, but you did intend to kill. It was a crime of passion, second-degree murder. Now, notice that this, we have, again, trials to decide, A, is it murder? Because there are forms of killing that are not murder. There's accidental killing, that's manslaughter. So you do have a killing, but not a murder. Now, again, with Chelsea Handler, I think what she's doing here is she's taking the thing that she that needs to be proven, for which you have a trial, and just presuming it. Wait, we saw the video. And so, obviously, it's a murder. Obviously, there's the murder victim, Floyd. Obviously, there's the murderer, Chauvin. Why have a trial? Why have a jury? Why bother to convict? Why don't we just put the guy, why don't we just lock the guy up for the rest of his life? So, it's hard to believe that people like this actually exist in America, but they do. A country of due process and civil liberties and constitutional rights. I'm sure if somebody came to arrest Chelsea Handler, she'd immediately call her lawyer and put a battery of lawyers into operation to defend her. So, this is the cruel insensitivity of people who demand all these protections for themselves, but are very happy to dispense with them for others. Which of us isn't searching for a good movie out there to see? Well, there's a new one out that I want you to see. It's called Church People. It's a comedy. It's going to leave you laughing out loud while ultimately reminding you of the true meaning of the gospel. Here's a clip. Listen.
I told you if we broke attendance records, I'd get the church logo tattooed on my arm.
Skip, remember back when we first started?
All we did was preach the gospel.
Ooh, Superman works. I like Superman. Guy, what do you think?
What happened to you?
Me? Your dad is the one with the gimmicks.
The power of the Holy Spirit propels us.
I just want the church to get back to the gospel.
Problem is, you're trying to get your message across.
The gospel.
Right. And ain't nobody listening to that.
Oh, yeah. You'll enjoy this one. Watch Church People at salemnow.com. That's S-A-L-E-M, salemnow.com. Use my promo code Dinesh at checkout for a special discount. I've been reading all over the press and over social media about white supremacy as a lethal threat to the lives of Asian Americans. And as part of my research into white supremacy, I say to myself, wow, let me look and see if I can find some evidence, some ideally video evidence, of white supremacists assaulting, murdering, beating up Asian Americans. And I can't find any. Every time I look on social media, I scroll down, I look at left-wing sites, here's what I see. I see video case after case of black assailants attacking, often in broad daylight, in various cities, Asian Americans, Asian American women, Asian American men. And this isn't just my view. Recently, there was a press conference in which the New York arresting authorities have a press conference, and they say they put out these booking pictures of those arrested for anti-Asian attacks. A whole bunch of pictures. All black. So this is really frustrating. We're supposed to be, we have a narrative, white supremacy is to blame, and we have the visual, empirical reality that evidently every observable incident does not involve white supremacists at all. Now, there's a very interesting article in Breitbart by Nick Nolte, and he makes the point. Now, he doesn't touch the racial issue of it, but he says Asians should flee democratic cities and move to rural MAGA-land. Kind of an interesting point. What he says is that he says, look, I live in a rural county that's 88% white. We haven't had a single incident of anti-Asian violence. Now, he says, admittedly, very few Asians live in rural America. He goes, that's the problem. Where do they live? New York City, Queens, the Bronx, San Francisco. They live in Democratic-run cities, and that's where the violence is happening to them. And so, Nolte says, if you want to be safer, Asian Americans, you might think of skipping town and moving into MAGA country, moving into rural America. And he goes, the interesting thing about moving to rural America is you'll get the colorblind treatment. Nobody will bother you. Nobody will go after you. Of course, there's an isolated case here and there, but in terms of the statistics, you'll be much safer. He goes, I'm quoting him now, people of all races, creeds, and backgrounds are safe in rural MAGA land. But what he's really saying, Nick Nolte is, which I think he's a little bit hesitant to say because of this age of political correctness, is that Asian Americans' lives are actually safest with white people. That's what he's saying. That's a simple implication of what he's saying. So just as a gay baby is safest in the womb of a pro-life mother, in the same manner, the safest place for an Asian American in America today is in rural white America. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, and choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Dinesh in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know I sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. I am a big fan of Roma Downey. Roma Downey for many years on CBS was the co-star of Touched by an Angel. Now she and her husband Mark Burnett are, well, I'd have to call them the two most influential Christians in Hollywood. They have their own studio that's called Lightworkers Media. Last year they produced the movie Messiah on Netflix, and now they have Resurrection, a very powerful movie on Discovery Plus. Debbie and I watched the movie a couple of days ago, and we were really blown away by it. It's beautifully shot. It's got an evocative score. We loved its absolute fidelity to scripture. And it just moves. It tells a very powerful story in a very natural way. And it has a very powerful emotional impact at the end. Roma Downey, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining me. And I must say how, as a film guy myself, how much we love the movie. It just transported us into that biblical world. So let's talk for a moment as we approach Easter about the resurrection. Would you say that the resurrection is the central event in Christianity? And second, it's a tough subject to make a movie on.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on. I'm delighted to be able to speak with you today. And I'm delighted. It's music to my ears that you and your wife loved the movie, and that you felt uplifted by it, that you know, it's such a triumphant story of hope. And I think after the challenging year that we've all come through, that we're still coming through with the COVID pandemic, I think that stories of hope are needed now more than ever. Absolutely, the resurrection is the center stone of our faith, isn't it? I mean, I think we could remove the nativity from the New Testament. The New Testament would still hold up. But if we removed the resurrection from the New Testament, it would be a whole other story. So to be able to bring it to life on the screen for audiences, I think brings an aliveness to a story that we're all very familiar with. I mean, there's no spoiler alerts here, right? Everybody knows the story.
Well, what people don't think about is that the resurrection is a kind of unique event to Christianity. I say this because I grew up in India with a variety of different religions, Islam, Hinduism, and so on, Judaism, of course. And in all those religions, you have some common elements, belief in life after death, obviously a moral code, like the Ten Commandments that goes with it. But you don't have in any other this notion that you have a God who became man, who then died for us in our sins and was resurrected, physically resurrected, not in some metaphorical sense, but an actual resurrection. Now, this story that you tell so beautifully in this movie is told, I think, from Peter's point of view, and it gives the story a kind of power because, of course, Peter is the guy who denied Christ. He was almost, you may say, dragged into this, and yet he comes out really strong at the end and becomes the voice for preaching the resurrected Christ.
Yes, I think we deliberately set out to tell the story through the point of view of the disciples and primarily Peter. You know, most movies that deal with the life of Christ, you know, we take a lot of time to build up the story through the ministry of Jesus, the 3 years that he was preaching, and into, you know, his arrest, trial, and his death. And usually the resurrection is just like a little kind of bookend, you know, to these films. We made one ourselves a few years ago, the movie Son of God. And so we know the story has been told in that way. We wanted this movie to be different, that it would actually deal with the aftermath of the death of Jesus and what happened. And so the film opens up the crucifixion. And we know from scripture that only John, the beloved, Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, they were the only three from Jesus' followers at the foot of the cross. We know that Judas had already betrayed Jesus, but there were 10 other disciples, and it begs the question, well, where were they? You know, where did they go, and why did they go? And we also know that Peter, as you mentioned, denied Jesus 3 times, as Jesus told him he would. And I think when he was spotted in the crowd like that, you know, it must have been scared to death. I mean, if they just killed Jesus, maybe they were next. And so our first dramatic scene, as you recall, is the disciples now all gathering back again. They're gathering back. They're heartbroken and grieving because Jesus is dead. They're confused because their leader is dead. They don't know what to do. They're scared they might be next. And I'm sure they were also feeling maybe guilt or shame that they had run away, that they had run off. And but I think in the telling of the story, showing their humanity and showing their vulnerabilities, it makes them, you know, it's more relatable for us that we can see ourselves in them. And then as we see Peter, as you mentioned, really just, you know, Jesus singled him out to be the rock. He said, you're my rock. And, you know, we can just see him grow in stature, grow in faith, grow in confidence, grow into his leadership. You know,
Jesus says to the apostle that we now know as Doubting Thomas, that you have seen and you have believed, because Thomas had to actually feel Jesus's wounds because he was the skeptic. And then Jesus says something very memorable, which is that blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. I think that's actually a standout line from the movie. And it's accompanied by the very poignant observation at the end of the movie, which I found very moving. You show scenes from Christians all over the world, Philippine Christians, Nigerian Christians, Protestants, Catholics, people all in this common act of worship, a universal faith. And then you say there are 2 billion people in the world who have not seen and yet believe. So isn't it a fact that faith is really the essence of Christianity, faith in the resurrection? If you had to say one thing about what defines Christianity, that's it, and it's beautifully captured in the movie.
You're absolutely right, and it's, you know, it's the promise of that, right? That has, you know, that is the hope that we get from that, you know, that allows us, I think, to endure the suffering of the world. You know, I mean, it's been a very hard year. You know, a lot of lives were lost with this dreadful COVID virus. And I think that the promise for Easter of this story, and in all the ways too, that in our own lives, symbolically in our own lives, that we've been locked in our tombs, since we were shut in about a year ago now. We've been disconnected from each other. Many of us have been in isolation all this time. And it's almost like tomb-like. And we're so ready for that resurrection in our lives. You know, we're all ready to step back out into the light and to be together again, you know, and I agree with you. The ending of the film is surprisingly moving. And I think because of the, you know, we remember that in the first century, just a handful, in the 21st century, over 2.2 billion. And that, you know, at a time where we feel so disconnected because of our, you know, being shut in, to remember that we're part of this phenomenal global family and that we belong to each other, you know, is deeply touching.
Absolutely. Ramadani, thank you so much for joining the podcast. I'm actually going to close out by playing a short clip from the film so people can get a taste of it and then watch it. It's playing on Discovery Plus and it's available. It's actually, I think, a good statement that Discovery Plus has been open to putting this kind of movie out.
We are thrilled and we're hoping maybe it's just the beginning that Discovery Plus will see what a robust audience want to see our values reflected on the screen in these kinds of stories. So we're grateful to our partnership with them.
That is awesome.
And I hope and pray that families will make a date with each other and will gather around the TV screen this Easter and watch Resurrection together.
Absolutely. Watch the clip and then let's do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The tomb is now open and the Nazarene is gone.
Impossible! Jesus has risen.
You will preach the gospel to all creation.
Now, spread his word.
This could trigger rebellion.
Lock down the city.
Tear the place apart!
Go!
What if you've chosen the wrong man?
Believe, then follow me.
The kingdom of God is coming!
Mike Lindell is a guy who truly stands up for his beliefs and for his faith. I love this guy. Here's a little clip.
Remember the hostile response you got when you stood up in Washington, D.C.
And I encourage you to use this time at home to get back in the Word, read our Bibles, and spend time with our families.
You would think I, shot a bunch of people or something.
PR stunts like Mr. Pillow coming out and giving a plug for his company.
And then when you got the My Pillow guy getting up there talking about reading the Bible.
I want us to knock ourselves out in supporting this guy. Debbie and I love to have all of Mike Lindell's MyPillow products all over our home. We love especially his towels. We're very particular about our towels. We kind of want them to dry us, which is quite a concept. MyPillow towels are soft to the touch when they don't have that lotiony feel. Proprietary technology makes them highly absorbent. Other towels feel good, but they don't really absorb. MyPillow towels are available in multiple sizes and styles. They're machine washable and durable, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. For a limited time, 2-for-1, low price and free shipping on the 6-piece sets. And you can save 30% on individual towel options with promo code Dinesh. Call 800-876-0227 or go to MyPillow.com. Don't forget to use promo code D-I-N-E-S-H, Dinesh. It's time for our mailbox, and we have a question from Caitlin. Listen.
Hi, Dinesh. This is Caitlin from Michigan. Thank you so much for taking my question about fascism last time. Your answer was very insightful. This is my question. Over the past few months, we've had several instances where we had a Republican in Congress or the Supreme Court, for example, who we were really counting on to stand up for us. Then suddenly they do something that seems completely uncharacteristic and they don't even give a very plausible excuse. Rand Paul didn't contest the electoral ballots, Mike Pence didn't send the votes back to the states to be verified, and just recently Kristi Noem didn't sign the trans people in girls' sports bill. The strange similarity between them all is that they barely give us a reason afterwards. When the justices that Trump appointed voted not to investigate the voter fraud, they did not issue an explanation. So knowing that the left barely ever plays fair, do you think it's possible these Republicans or their families are being threatened by the deep state? Thank you for your thoughts and for all the work you do on the show.
Thank you. Well, Caitlin, you are awesome. And thanks for weighing in again with another question. And it's a really good one. I would make a distinction between the court on the one hand and the GOP, the Republican Party, on the other. The court functions according to process, procedure, and law. And the court's reason for not taking these cases, although I disagree with it, is based on the idea that it's not the proper forum to adjudicate these disputes. So the court wasn't saying that there's merit or no merit. What the Supreme Court was saying is, handle this at the level that the Constitution says you should handle it, namely the state legislature. And by the way, that is actually happening now in a very encouraging way. Georgia's taking the lead, but it's happening in a bunch of other places too. Now, the GOP is in a different position because you are quite right that any party kind of worth its salt, worthy of our allegiance, of our financial support, of our volunteer time and effort, needs to represent us. Doesn't mean that the leadership has always got to agree with us, but as you say, if they don't agree, we demand some sort of an account, some kind of explanation. Why are you taking a different position? Now, with Kristi Noem, you had an attempt to explain, well, you know, there's a better way to do this. I'm writing an executive order. I'm organizing a petition movement. Well, wait a minute. You don't need to organize a petition movement. Normally, a petition movement is to tell the governor, hey, governor, pay attention. You're the governor. You can act. So I think this is an invertebrate move on Kristi Noem's part that essentially disqualifies her at the national level. And also makes her, I think, makes her a more problematic figure, even in her own state, which, of course, is a reliably red state. With regard to the GOP leadership, I think that they have failed us miserably, to be honest. There obviously are good people there, but they have not recognized that this is a case where the base of the party is in a completely different place as the leadership. It's almost as if the leaders have now got to chase and catch up with the base to move ahead of them. They're not leading, they're following. I think we need to continue to make our influence felt and our voices heard to tell these leaders, hey, listen, either you lead or you may want to think of getting out of the way so we can appoint and nominate and elect others who will.
Subscribe to the Dinesh D'Souza podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify, or watch on Rumble, YouTube, and SalemNow.com.